Hello and welcome. This is VChat number 32. I'm David Davis from VMwareVideos.com.
And I'm Simon Seagrave from TechHead.co.
And I'm Eric Siebert from vSphereLand.com.
Welcome, guys. This is our VMworld 2012 edition. We're going to talk about everything that happened at VMworld in San Francisco this year, 2012. It was a fun show. I guess let's start off with Simon. Tell me about the show.
Yeah, well, the show, it was good. I mean, I missed it last year, so it was great to head along. This year was a little bit different for me. Normally, in past years, I've been working the vLabs booth, either our own one at EMC or the VMworld hands-on labs area. So I'll be honest with you, I don't normally get to see too much of the show. It was a little bit different because I've changed roles recently. I've moved into a technical marketing role within EMC. And as a result of that, I had a little bit more time on the show floor to wander around and catch a couple of sessions and have a wander around the solutions exchange a little bit more between my other duties. So yeah, it was quite good. It was good to get out there. Caught the keynotes as well, albeit not from the main stage area or the area where they hold it. I mean, that was absolutely rammed. I don't know how you guys got on there trying to get in for the keynote. I ended up going to the bloggers area, run by John Troyer there, and watched it on the big screen. But yeah, it was a good show as always. Had a great atmosphere and everything. Some good announcements coming out, obviously vSphere 5.1, which no doubt we'll cover in the show here in a bit more depth. But it was good. It was good. It seemed to have like a different focus than previous years. Obviously last year we had the big vSphere 5.0 release. A lot of emphasis around this, and this time round it was interesting. Definitely a lot more focus, obviously, on the cloud, but particularly this new thing called the Software Defined Data Center. So there we go, a new acronym to learn there, SDDC. Obviously, a lot of discussion and a lot of mention of that. So a good show, enjoyed it. And the feedback I've had from others has been really positive. I think everyone else had a good time there. They learned a lot, as always, and a great opportunity to network.
Yeah, absolutely. Eric, what about you?
Yeah, it's for this year, I wasn't really tied down to anything specifically, no speaking sessions, no booth duty, anything in that. So I had a lot of time to kind of just, go and explore and just do various things. So the keynote, I actually watched the first keynote from the hotel room. They streamed them all, so... much easier than trying to go there. And that for the second keynote for Stephen Harrod, I went there in person, sat in the blogger area and that. And they were both, good. There wasn't anything major there, I thought. It was just, sure you had vSphere 5.1. There wasn't anything super huge in this release and that, not until we come out with the next major release. Last year we had the big vSphere 5 launch, so that was a lot to talk about there. A lot of the day two stuff was all just trending towards mobile computing, that Horizon Mobile and that stuff. And that was really all just future stuff and that. It's not stuff we're going to see for any time soon and that. So while it looked cool, it was just not something you could use today. So it wasn't really, all that interesting. We'll have to wait and see what actually pans out and what they actually release. But overall, enjoyed the show, enjoyed, just walking around and networking with people and saw a couple sessions this year. Actually, it's first time. Usually I don't see any sessions at all, but went and stopped and saw a couple of the storage ones this year, specifically on some of the storage future stuff they're showing off. It's nice that they're finally kind of open up a little bit now and showing that kind of the technology previews and that you can kind of see what's cooking that's going to be coming out in the next major release. So all in all, good show. And, despite not having to be tied down to anything, it's like you never really have time to do everything you want. You're always kind of, pressed for time and that. So, had a good time, though.
Yeah, absolutely. This year I said, well, I'm not going to go to any sessions and I don't have time for labs. I'm just going to try to, network and talk to as many people as possible. And, I did that, but there's still even more things that I wanted to do that I, didn't have a chance to do because there's so many great sessions. I mean, I did feel like I missed out on some of those. And the labs on the last day when it closed, I went in there and checked those out. And it was really incredible how far they've come with those, the bring your own desktop and you can sit in couches and do labs. And it's really pretty cool. But, anyway, yeah, it was an awesome show, the Software Defined Data Center. I thought You know, for a point release, you know, they had a lot to talk about. It was still, you know, pretty exciting for just having a point release. I think it's tough for any software company to come out with a new release, you know, every year and have a show every year and still keep it, you know, exciting. So I thought they did a pretty good job of that. But yeah, it was a different, a little bit different VMworld, I thought, you know, than in the past. But still a lot of fun. What about, you know, parties and events?
So, yeah, around parties, well, I organized a VBeers this Saturday. I did the last time VMworld was in San Francisco, and it was good. It was quite an impromptu thing last time, and we probably had about 30 people along. This time round, a little bit more organized, in as much that I actually warned the venue that we were coming. There was no sponsorship, as always, because, I mean, that's the whole thing around VBeers, right? It's a community-type event rather than a sponsored event. But it was good attendance. I think probably at the height of the evening, we probably had around about probably 60 people, 70 people there. So really good turnout. And it definitely helped with VMworld starting a day earlier this year as well. It just meant on the Saturday there, it was actually the day before the event started. So there was a lot more people in town and what have you. But it was good, as always. It had a really good... really good feel to it. It was just laid back. It was relaxed. Good opportunity for people just to kick around and, you know, have a few drinks and, you know, catch up with each other and then just really, you know, make new friends, new acquaintances, and just talk about the show. You know, the day before any show, there's always a lot of buzz and excitement. You know, people are talking about keynotes, what's going to be announced and what have you. So, you know, there's always a really good atmosphere there and a great bunch of people. Did a few VBs coasters. Actually, I'll grab some in a minute to show you. They were well received, just some VBeers stickers just for a bit of fun, and they went down well as well. But it was great. For me personally, it was great to catch up with a lot of people I don't get to see, you know, during the year. So it was good. Good opportunity to catch up. Apart from that, that was pretty much me around the party side of things. I went to Chad's EMC Geekfest party that was for... VMware and Cisco and other partners of ours, and that was good. That was another good opportunity to catch up with people. But apart from that, I was very dull, very boring indeed, actually. By the time the evening sort of wore around, the jet lag was kicking in, and also long days as well, talking to people and what have you. So yeah, nothing too ragey for me. What about you guys?
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to come in a day early next VMworld just to see Simon and go to VBeers, because I didn't get to see Simon the whole show. I think I just kept thinking, you know, well, I'll run into Simon eventually. I'll run into him eventually. And then finally on the last day, I was like, Simon, where are you? You know, and then we couldn't catch up. So it's amazing how you can be somewhere 5 days and, you know, in the same area and still not see someone, you know. But it was cool. You know, Train Signal was a sponsor of the VM Underground party, which they expanded this year to 750 people. It was at Jillian's, and I thought it was a great venue because it was much larger, and, you know, you could mingle, you could walk around, you could talk to people a little bit easier than in the past. So it was a good event. The guys did a good job on that. That was where we actually handed out VNerd 2012 shirts, which I'm wearing today. It's a updated version of the shirt that Simon has there, yeah. And I need to get you guys some 2012 shirts, because that was the only place we handed them out, was at the party.
I've still got the retro one. I've still got the 2011 here.
That's cool. John Troyer in his mirror ball jacket underneath, he was sporting a VNerd 2010 shirt. 2010, yeah. So the blue one. But anyway, it was a great show. Parties, Eric?
Yeah, too many. And that Monday seemed to just be, like, packed. I think I had, like, four at once on my calendar and that. I went to the Underground on Sunday. That was cool. It's definitely nice to have it in the bigger venue and that. The Thirsty Bear was just so cramped there. It just was impossible to move around. Monday, there was a ton of them. I went to the SolarWinds vMixer. Briefly went to the vExpert event and saw Simon there. We caught up a little bit. And what else was there? There was, I'm forgetting all my parties now. I did miss that Zangati one. I wanted to go to that bourbon and bacon one, and that was a late night one. It was like 10, 11 o'clock, and that, so missed that one. And then, of course, Tuesday, the Veeam party. It's always fun going to that. They had a really big venue with that that place they had rented out this time, and that was nice. You could really move around a lot. And on Wednesday, we had that CTO party, which is pretty cool, and that got a meet Paul Gelsinger in person, shake his hand, and you know, all the big leagues were there. Stephen Herrod was there, and all the top brass at VMware, and a lot of the development people as well. So that was nice too. Really, really fun time there.
Did you say Paul Gelsinger? Did they merge the two together?
Pat Gelsinger.
Yeah, maybe they merged them together.
It was funny because Dave Cardi and who was the other guy? Who's the guy that looks like a bit like Paul Moritz? I forget his name now.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
So he was there, and him and Jace McCarty were next to each other. Jace kind of looks a little bit like Pat Gelsinger. Jace put the glasses on. They took a picture together looking like Pat and Paul, you know, the stunt doubles or something. So, but, he was really down to earth. He was just hanging out there and, you know, talking to anybody who wanted to walk up and say hi on that. So it was nice to be able to, you know, have that opportunity in an informal setting to get up close and personal with them and, you know, just be able to chat.
Yeah, that's very cool. And you mentioned the VXpert meeting. I went to the meeting, and all three of us actually won awards. John Troyer handed out awards to all three of us. And I don't know, it may be, you know, due to the VChat, it may be other activities he didn't actually say. They were just sort of informal, off-the-cuff, like, awards that he gave to maybe 20 VXperts out of, you know, 400 or so, I guess.
Me and Simon were there for like the first 10 minutes, and then we cut out and got some beers and cut up for a bit. And so
The one time I actually did something and I wasn't there. I heard one time, but I wasn't too sure what it was for. But
I almost left, but I was glad I didn't, because in the end, he's like, "I've got awards," and he started calling names, and I had to go up to the front, and so it was nice though. It was generous.
That was a nice gesture. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I've got the, there we go. I don't know if you can see that there. There we go. There's the VBeers coaster.
Oh, cool.
Like a Lego man?
Yeah. It's a little VBeers dude. So, I've got these coasters made up. I've got a few bloggers who wanted to chip in a bit of money to help contribute towards the printing costs of getting them printed up. But got 500 of the things made. So if anyone out there is runs regularly, VBeers events, get in touch with me. Go to the VBeers site or go to techhead.co. Drop me a line and I'll send you out some coasters that you can use at your VBeers event. Bit of fun. get in touch.
Well, cool. I'll trade you a V-Nerd shirt for some VBeers coasters.
Yeah, it sounds like a trade.
For the house, yeah. It's funny how many V events there are now. I mean, VBeers. I went to V Bacon, which was a event sponsored by Cisco where they handed out bacon at a local bar. There's the VM Underground, there's V Stogies. I don't know how many more V events there are.
Yeah,
but
wasn't there the Cream Puff one or something as well? V Cream Puff or something.
Oh, there's V Dodgeball, yeah.
Yeah, the V everything.
Yeah.
Well, the one V thing that I didn't like was the V official party there, with Bon Jovi, and then I was really disappointed in that one. And big Bon Jovi fan, but he played hardly any Bon Jovi songs, which was really disappointing. It was more just covers and that. So to me, that was a bit disappointing. You go there expecting to see Bon Jovi, hear Bon Jovi songs, and all you're getting is a bunch of covers. So kind of a bummer.
Yeah, I didn't make it along to that at all. But caught up with a few colleagues, had a meal that evening. But getting towards the end of the week, I was starting to get a bit tired. But I'd heard the same from other people as well. I was watching the Twitter feed as it was on coming in, and a lot of people saying the same thing.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the songs were entertaining. I mean, I was enjoying some of the cover songs, and then all of a sudden the concert's just over. And I'm like, no, play more Bon Jovi. And then he comes back and he didn't play anymore. Yeah, he didn't play any more Bon Jovi. So
yeah, he played a cover for the encore.
Yeah.
perhaps it's a sign of where it's all ended up for him, perhaps. I don't know.
Yeah, his messy divorce with Bon Jovi. Didn't get to keep anything.
Hey, so guys, around the so one of the things at the Appian World there, obviously, we had the transition between Paul Moritz and Pale Singer. How do you feel that went in the keynote? Obviously, with the keynote there, people can jump online and see that if you didn't make it to the event. But obviously, you know, quite an important transition that VMware, I guess, had to handle quite well. Out there, being a listed company and everything, you had to make that sure that transition between two CEOs is nice and smooth and what have you. But how do you think that went?
I was actually surprised to see Paul there. I was expecting him not to even be present at all. And then I think the announcement was about at least a month before the event. But yeah, I think overall it went pretty well on that. I think that kind of had to happen. Was being so close to the event, you had to pass the torch from one to the other and kind of give, you know, lay the groundwork, introduce, and do the official, you know, handover in person and that. So I think that went, you know, pretty good. And I think, there was good acceptance. I mean, I really liked Paul, and I thought he was great in that position and that, and we'll definitely miss him in that. But it'll be interesting to see the direction now and, how things go with, Pat at the helm. So, but I think it went pretty good.
Yeah, it was interesting, some of the, the messaging. I saw a couple of interviews with Pat, during the event and what have you, and it was good. He was sending out a nice clear message there. Hey, he's not going to change track at all. He was very complimentary towards Paul, which I thought was good, and he said, look, it's going to be business as usual. He's formed a great vision here. We're going to continue to run and build on that. So, nice straightforward messaging there for everyone. Nothing too major. Obviously, they wouldn't want to do that. But I thought it went quite well. I thought it was good to have that sort of handover, like you say, especially the year of the Olympics as well. It was almost like handing the torch over and getting the next person or the next runner to step up and run with that torch. So it's going to be an interesting couple of years. But he's a talented guy. I think VMware are definitely in safe hands there. So but he's going to bring his spin on things. So it's going to be interesting to see how that impacts the portfolio and where things head. So exciting times.
Yeah, you find that a lot of times when these new C-level positions come in, they always say, oh, no major changes, nothing's business as usual and that, but get down the road a little bit, and then they've got time to settle in, and a lot of times they will make bigger changes. But I think, the groundwork for VMware has been laid pretty well on that, and there really isn't a huge change of direction needed, and that, they're on the right track. They're doing what they need to do. So, yeah, like you said, I don't think we'll see much radically different than what it is today.
What about you, David?
Yeah, I think, like you said, it's important to have that symbolic handover. And I think Eric's right. The changes never happen immediately. They're always down the road. Hopefully he maybe is a little more aggressive than Paul. Maybe he gives better keynote speeches. I don't know. To me, Steve Herrod is almost the leader that I turn to, I guess, to see what the company's doing technologically. The things that the CEO says are always, I don't know, I guess less interesting, more just business focused to me, and tend to pay more attention to the CTO. So yeah, as long as they don't change Steve, I'm fine.
Yeah, that'd be a big bummer.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I was pretty, excited about a lot of the technology that VMware announced. I went to Palo Alto 2 weeks prior to VMworld, and they gave me a preview of what they were going to talk about in the keynote and the software-defined data center concept. And it was, it was presented to us as them trying to differentiate themselves between all the other cloud vendors, of the world, to show that they have a unique vision and a unique product and I think also to try to warm up to, sort of members of the press, to tell them that, to prepare them for this, and hopefully give this software-defined data center vision a warm reception, by the press. And I think it went that way, I think, as VMware wanted it to go. What do you guys think about the software-defined data center?
Well, VMware is a software company. So, obviously they don't sell hardware, so, they need to, they already have compute and memory all virtualized. They haven't really, with networking and storage, really have anything there. You know, they do have virtual switches in that, but they're pretty much dumb switches. You do have the Cisco Nexus 1000V, but that's not VMware's in that. That's a third party. So that's, I think that's why they made the move to, for, what is it, Nicira, buying them to get that level. And then for storage-wise, you know, again, most of the intelligence is in the storage array, and they're trying to bring that back into vSphere and that, and lay, put some management and intelligence into vSphere itself, and kind of, seems to me like they're trying to dumb down all the hardware and put all the intelligence and everything into VMware, you know, vSphere itself and that. So, you know, it, pros and cons and that, you know, I think that, it gives them a lot more, they're a lot closer to everything then, and they can, you know, truly offer a fully virtualized, you know, environment that's, you know, fully integrated with vSphere and that. So we'll have to see how it goes in that and see how it progresses, because some of that stuff is more long-term and that. That's not something they're going to have anytime soon, and that they're kind of on the path to be able to do that. And, you know, like I said, they're a software company, so it makes sense for them to, you know, really kind of exploit everything they can on the software side.
Yeah, it's interesting, actually. I mean, the whole concept of virtualization, obviously, that took a few years for people to get their heads around, you know, oddly, the virtualization side of things. It's moved on from there. Obviously, the concept of cloud slipped in a couple of years back. I see this as the next, you know, buzzword, as it were, but so it's going to be kicking around for a while. It's really, like you say, Eric, it's been broadly open now. It's going to take a while for people to get their heads around what the software-defined data center is and the benefits it offers. So, you know, we're not going to see a widespread adoption of it probably anytime soon, but it's good because it's out there now and it gives people the time to sort of become comfortable with it, sort of find out a little bit more around it, and also for partners and also for VMware themselves to, you know, start to architect or create products that play into that space potentially. But interestingly enough, I mean, the hardware, when you look at it, I mean, it's all software generally, right? You know, I mean, you've got all the storage devices, you've got spinning disk, or you've got your flash-based disk now. But the real power there is actually in the software running on the controller heads, for example. Same with network switches as well. I mean, yes, there's proprietary hardware, but you're seeing a lot of the vendors, you know, moving towards generic mainstream sort of hardware now. You know, I mean, that gives them a lot of benefits around, you know, the cost of producing their items, because they're not having to go and create their own ASICs or their own proprietary hardware. It's obviously a lot cheaper for them as well. You know, I mean, they can just piggyback the next wave of Intel processors, for example, or, you know, storage technology coming through produced by you know, other players in that space. So, yeah, it's pretty good. It means they can actually ramp up the speed at which they sort of release their products, and where they add the real value add is actually in the software layer more than anything. So going forward, I think we're going to see more of that, obviously, because these days, I mean, let's face it, if you look at servers, I mean, we've got, you know, the servers are virtualized, but the physical servers underlying there, I mean, as we know, I mean, it doesn't really matter too much what it's running on. I mean, a lot of the differentiations, for example, between the Dell and HP and IBM, for example, is generally around sort of the real value add, sort of perhaps the software-based features of that server. More than the actual sort of physical hardware itself, you know. You had Cisco a few years back with the UCS. They came out with, you know, obviously the high capacity UCS servers, and they were, you know, they differentiated themselves in that space for that reason for a while. You know, there's a few other features that Cisco came out with at the time, but, you know, a couple of years have lapsed now, and obviously the other players in that space now offer, you know, similar offerings. So it's interesting. It's pretty steady out there, and, you know, all the vendors, you know, the EMCs, the HPs, the IBMs, Dells, you know, the Ciscos, what have you. It's generally about differentiating themselves at the software layer more than anything. So that sort of really plays into that software-defined data center. I mean, we see a lot of in the storage space. We see, for example, for me, it was interesting, the solutions exchange space. We saw NetApp really, touting their virtual storage appliance, obviously EMC. We don't have a commercial product around there at the moment. It's the VNX VSA that we use for a lot of our labs. HP, the HP labs there, we're really promoting, you know, downloads our free VSA. So, you know, the vendors in that space, as one example, you know, they're looking at, really getting their virtualized or their software-based solution out there and getting people to use it. So, you know, we'll see others follow over time, and, Yeah, it's going to become less and less about the hardware, you know, more and more about the software or, you know, code that actually runs on that hardware itself. So, yeah, interesting times. It's going to be interesting to see how that evolves over the next couple of years.
And the VSA is a perfect example of that because it's all about the software there, and you can run it on any hardware, so the intelligence and everything isn't really in the hardware. It's really about all the software and that. So, and I think that's the direction VMware is trying to go a bit, is trying to expand out their virtual SAN technology to put more intelligence on the vSphere side and, you know, have it work with any hardware.
Yeah. I mean, for example, one of the new features you get with 5.1 now is the vSphere data protection, which is, you know, the VDP that you get free with 5.1. So, I mean, that's using a lot of, I only mention that because it's some of the EMC technologies we're using, that's, so I'm familiar with it. But, some of the technologies that previously found in data domain devices, for example, they've found their way in this virtual, you know, software-based VDP product. So, you know, where in the past, you know, everyone, including myself, you think of that as a physical box. Well, actually, that's been, you know, the real value there has been split out or part of it. And, you know, it's more about the software. And it's interesting how, you know, VMware started to integrate some of those features in there. You mentioned Cisco as well with the Nexus switches, you know, obviously all software-based as well. So, yeah, it's an interesting transition that's sort of slowly happening. Very exciting as well.
Yeah, I had the honor of meeting Martin Casado, or Casada, who is the founder of Nasira. Who's now, you know, I'm guessing a virtual billionaire, you know, since they were bought by VMware for $1.2 billion. Super nice guy, super smart guy. He's got a doctorate in, I think, computer science from Stanford. Anyway, you know, he was talking about exactly, you know, what we're discussing here is, you know, the software-defined networking. And, you know, the press had talked about how Nasira could, you know, potentially take on Cisco, but that was before VMware bought them, you know, so I don't know if that's necessarily going to happen now. But, you know, I can see an Intel server with, you know, a bunch of 10 gig Ethernet ports and, you know, some form of VMware/Nasira software on there. And, you know, you've got a 10 gig, you know, switch right there, a software-defined, you know, switch all in software without having to go out and buy, you know, something like Cisco. And, you know, we, like you said, VMware's, you know, virtual storage is just getting smarter and smarter. You know, I don't think they're going to take on, you know, EMC or replace an EMC array, you know, anytime real soon, but we can see, you know, their virtual storage just getting smarter and smarter. What about vSphere 5.1? Eric, what have you seen in vSphere 5.1 that's interesting?
There's a lot of little things that are cool about that. You know, I think the one that kind of stood out for me was the being able to vMotion without shared storage now. You know, it's basically just a combination of doing a regular vMotion and a storage vMotion, and I think VMware probably could have had that feature for a long time now, and that I think they finally added it because Microsoft has been touting it, saying with our new version of Hyper-V, we can do that. We don't need shared storage to move a VM. So I think they finally just say, hey, we'll just throw this in there, and now we can do that. We can do that vMotion without shared storage, which is nice to have. The other thing that kind of stood out is the focus is now on the web UI fully. So to manage vSphere, you know, the vSphere client is officially been put on notice. It's, you know, the next major release, you probably won't see the vSphere client. The web UI is now fully functional. And so if you haven't started using it yet, you probably should, because, you know, you're going to have to get used to it, because that's really what the future is going to be in that. So, you know, beyond that, there was a lot of little things I thought that there's that new SE Sparse virtual disk, which is really only intended for VDI environments, and you can't actually use yet until a new release of Vue comes out. And, Simon, anything stand out to you?
Yeah, a few things. I don't think there's any one thing. I think there was, because it was a point release, you know, there's lots of little things. One thing, obviously, VMware for many years have been trying to, you know, really push into the tier one application space. You know, hey, you know, trying to get that message over. Don't hold back. Virtualize your tier one apps. So they've taken another step forward towards that. Obviously, you can have much larger virtual machines with 5.1. So you can have a virtual machine with up to 64 virtual CPUs now. Imagine the type of application
like
that needs
that
sort of horsepower. And the other thing is, it can have up to a terabyte of virtual RAM as well. So, God, could you imagine the actual physical hardware that would be running on? I mean,
yeah.
So they're pretty confident. They're still pushing hard. You know, hey, virtualize your tier one apps. So good to see around that one. So one thing that hasn't really been sort of, I haven't seen it publicized too much, but with 5.1, I'm pretty sure I got this right, but they've actually, with this version, this is the first version where they've actually done away with the Linux-based COS in there. So you know how you always used to have the... Yeah, that's right. You used to be able to go in and do a few bits and pieces. Well, that has actually totally gone now. So obviously there's a lot of implications around that. Smaller footprint for a start, better for security for that reason, less areas of exploit. So that's finally been removed. So I haven't spun it up in my lab yet just to confirm that and just see, you know, see what it looks like. But that means that, you know, everything needs to be done through via remote management tools now, whether that be via Power CLI, for example, or through the, you know, GUI interface. So there's another thing that stood out. Another thing, Eric, you touched on, the web interface. Yeah, good to see that finally making ground. They've been talking about it for long enough, so good to see them finally pushing that and seeing that sort of going into the mainstream a lot more. Great for Mac users, right? I don't know about you guys who use a Mac. So a big tick in the box for VMware on that one. It means that another reason why I don't need to run Fusion or Windows on my Mac anymore. Other things as well, VDP, the data protection, some pretty decent backup software sort of built into it now, which is pretty good. And I think that's probably they're the main ones really that stood out for me. You know, the the shared storage like you mentioned, Eric, and the vMotion. But yeah, no, they're probably the big things for 5.1. Lots of little things in there that I thought were pretty cool, but they're probably the bigger ones for me. And yeah, what about you, David?
Of course, you know, getting rid of the VRAM tax. I'm glad that they did that. Microsoft can't beat up on them about that anymore. You know, they renamed vShield to the vCloud Networking and Security family. So it's called VCNS now. So there's no more vShield. There's just VCNS.
Excellent. Another acronym to remember.
Yeah.
And they also bundled vShield Endpoint into vSphere now. It's no longer a separate product. It's bundled in there.
Yeah, and that's a smart move.
Components are separate now. They're all cloud, the Edge and the app and all that other components of vShield.
Yeah, and then just making the vCloud Suite, you know, one product SKU, so you can get the whole vCloud Suite as one, you know, a single product, I think is good. vSphere replication is really cool. You know, essentially free replication with a virtual appliance that you can, you know, replicate virtual machines from one site to another without additional cost, right?
Yeah, it used to be locked to SRM only in that, and now they've loosened that up, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. It puts them in competition with some other companies that offer that type of replication.
Yeah, it's interesting because everyone, you know, there was that Nicira acquisition that went through just before VMworld, right? And everyone was up in arms going, oh, that's going to kill the relationship with Cisco maybe, you know, treading on toes. But, you know, if you look at a bigger picture, I mean, VMware are actually making inroads into so many different spaces, and they've got to the size and point now where they just can't help standing on the toes of different partners. And like Eric mentioned before, you know, a lot of the storage functionality, you get some pretty good storage functionality built in now. You know, and obviously that's competing with the likes of EMC, HP, you know, and the other storage vendors out there. But yeah, it's not just one area, you know, it's multiple areas. But, you know, if you want the full, all singing and all dancing sort of products, you know, you still go to the specific partners and vendors. And, you know, and that's good because it keeps these vendors on their toes as well, you know, with VMware sort of adding these extra little bells and whistles with an extra added functionality with each version that comes out. That means the partners really need to keep on their toes to keep ahead of the curve and continue to innovate to really differentiate their product and, you know, have enough reason to persuade people to actually not use some of this inbuilt functionality, but to use, you know, their product because it is that much better. So it's good for everyone in that respect.
Yeah, for example, the VCNS now includes a load balancer, load balancing built in.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's
that's
a vSphere.
Cool.
It's for HTTP and HTTPS traffic only, but still, you know, it's a load balancer. They said if you need, you know, tier one application load balancing, you still have to buy a load balancer, but you know, for basic web servers and stuff, this load balancer works fine. So I also, you know, the new web client, I think it can't be stressed enough that it's really useful now. It's really fast. They've got search built in. They've got, like, tagging. And, you know, you can right-click on everything and The third-party companies are creating, you know, plugins for that web client, and you know it's really a nice client now. I think the last version was kind of like, eh, it's not bad. You know, it's sort of usable. And now it's like, okay, this is really cool. So.
No, it's pretty good. I think we've missed one thing actually, guys. Here, one of the biggest announcements around 5.1 was basically VMware abolishing VRAM around the licensing.
Yeah.
That was big news, and that was very welcomed. I know at the keynote when that was announced, there was a lot of cheers come from the audience there.
But it's funny, you don't see any press release or any formal announcement from VMware. It's almost like they are kind of like, all right, it's over, and, you know, that's it.
Yeah.
No fanfare.
Oh, it's a good move. Definitely a good PR exercise, if nothing else.
Yeah, they had, especially with Microsoft, the new release 2012 coming out, getting closer, and, you know, cost. Yeah. Being an issue there, and plus the suite thing. You also notice the per VM pricing has disappeared too with the suites, where they used to charge per VM for a lot of those other products, and that's no longer there.
Yeah, that's a smart move. One of the things I didn't really catch on to at VMworld, but since then I've been learning about, is something called vCenter Protect. Have you guys heard about that?
No, I haven't.
So, you know,
is that like the heart? Who did they buy it? Was it from Quest? They bought a product from Quest a few years back. No, it wasn't Quest.
No, so
is it like the Heartbeat product?
No, this is different. So they bought Shavlik, you know, who providing patching for what used to be VMware Update Manager. You know, you had patches you could apply to the Windows OS and Microsoft Office and all these applications. And then they removed that in vSphere 5, and it's just vSphere Update Manager because it only updates vSphere. So now they've got a new product called vCenter Protect, which is basically full-blown patching for everything in your infrastructure, physical servers and virtual machines. It includes offline patching of virtual machines. And it's, you know, it's VMware's recommended way to keep your infrastructure up to date with patches.
Well, that's interesting, because originally when it came out with Shavlik, obviously they had the close relationship with Shavlik at that stage. I think it was with 4.0, wasn't it? And at that stage, the patching would update your VMs, you know, your Microsoft operating systems and doing everything. Then they pulled that part, didn't they, of it, and it was really, they were just offering the patching of the actual ESX hosts themselves. So it's interesting to see them swing back again and go to a full-blown sort of patching utility there. So, I missed that one, actually. That's interesting.
Yeah, I'm doing a webinar with the vCenter Protect product manager here in a couple weeks. So I think it should be interesting. I mean, it's an interesting story that VMware can update your physical Windows servers with patches. And also, I mean, then they also bought, you know, Dynamic Ops, which can, I guess, monitor your physical servers as well. Mm-hmm. So they're sort of becoming a, you know, entire, you know, data center software company.
Yep. Software-defined data center company.
There you go.
Some may say. Hey, so one thing, obviously, guys, tons of new features to play with here. I don't know about you. I have not had time to play with 5.1 extensively yet, but I hope to get some time to spin it up in my lab soon. So, you know, talking about labs, so obviously the free version, or, you know, the vSphere Hypervisor, as it's called, 5.1, that was interesting to read around that. Obviously, that's got the VRAM restrictions, you know, taken away from it. Well, it was always the free version anyway. But it's interesting, you can have up to 32 gigabytes of RAM now per ESX host, or ESXi host, rather, on that. So, you know, for small, sort of very small, you know, environments at home, for example, you can ramp it up with a lot of memory now, a single box. And as you could probably imagine, you know, you can spin up in 32 gigs quite a few VMs. So great for, you know, educational purposes or just trying out some of these new features. So that was pretty good. That was pretty generous, I thought, taking that up to the 32 gigs.
Yeah, I've been running vSphere 5.1. I mean, I haven't done much with it yet so far, but in the new version of Fusion and the new version of Workstation, you can run, you know, nested 64-bit virtual machines inside. It recognizes vSphere, you know, 5 as a virtual machine, and there's no weird tweaking you have to do or anything. It's really impressive what you can do on a laptop, you know, that has SSD and Workstation or Fusion. You know, how many virtual machines, you know, I mean, really a complete lab you could build inside just a laptop. So.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, it really splits. I mean, I think there's more than ever a compelling reason, rather than have individual standalone you know, lab servers for either at home or work, you know, yeah, there is more compelling reason than ever to actually run them, you know, run a nested environment with memory being so cheap now as well. Just buy one all singing, all dancing, full powered box and just run all your VMs nested off of there. Definitely cheaper on power as well. So.
Very cool, very cool. So who's going to VMworld Europe? I'm not going to be able to make it this year. My wife is going to have a baby boy around that same time.
Congratulations.
Pass.
Thank
That's
you. Good news.
Thank you. But are either one of you guys going?
Not sure at this stage. Maybe.
Yeah, probably not this time.
VMworld Europe is usually when they do their management product releases. I've heard they're going to be announcing new versions of vCenter Operations, and I'm maybe more information about vCenter Protect and VMware View, you know, might be announced at VMworld Europe. But, you know, maybe next year. I would have liked to have gone, you know, since it's in Barcelona. It sounds pretty cool, but maybe next year, so.
Yeah, I hope to make it. Just got to say, actually, one thing, sorry, you reminded me there about announcements. And sorry, I'm jumping back here a little bit, is around Horizon. It was good to see that one step closer to becoming reality now. So I don't know whether they're going to do any more announcements at VMworld Barcelona. I haven't heard anything around that. After the day one keynote, there was no mention of, you know, Vue or anything like that. But it was good to see Steve Herrod on day two's keynote start mentioning, you know, Horizon and a few demos and stuff in there. It's good to see that sort of become, you know, one step closer to reality, because, you know, I don't know how many years now we keep seeing these fictitious demos they do. You know, it's obviously a lot of smoke and mirrors, but I just felt that this one had a bit more substance to it, and that we were that little bit closer to actually getting something.
Yeah, it's not even in beta yet though, so who knows? It's gonna be a while, I think.
Yeah, I thought the demo was really cool with what's this called? His name, VMware Journey on Twitter. Victorio, the Italian guy, it was really funny, and they put a lot of, you know, digs into Microsoft in the demo. There's a lot of laughter, so I enjoyed it. But like you said, didn't they demo Project Horizon last VMworld?
And still,
the one, and they're still demoing it, and it's still not even beta.
So yeah, it looks like MVP is dead. I don't think we're going to see a true phone hypervisor. You know, it's all about apps now and, you know, doing VDI from it.
Yeah, I think they probably had to, partway along the project, I'm guessing they probably had to change tact a little bit just because everything's moved on. And, you know, like you say, it's more application-based now rather than sort of trying to run a separate hypervisor.
Dealing with all those carriers and phone manufacturers can't be easy. There's probably just too much. So those guys want too much control that they're not probably not willing to give that up.
Yeah. Definitely no small task. So, hats off to them for giving it a go. Yeah.
And that's why VMware needs to come out with their own phone, the V phone.
That'd be cool.
You heard it here first. Yeah.
Sweet. Maybe VMworld Europe, they're going to announce that.
Maybe. Anyway, any other VMworld news?
I think that covered it pretty well.
Okay. Well, what's the big announcement this week that you're waiting for, Eric?
Oh, that iPhone 5. Two days. We got vSphere 5.1 tomorrow and iPhone 5 on the 12th. So I skipped the 4S just because I didn't think there was enough there. So the 5, if all the rumors are true, the bigger screen and all, it's definitely one I'll be going to.
Yeah, I don't know. What do you guys reckon? I reckon it's going to be a bit of a disappointment. I don't know whether I'm just getting older and crankier. We're expecting more from these guys, but I think it's just going to be a bit like the latest iPad that came out. Go, yeah, it's got a better screen and a slightly faster processor, you know, and that was pretty much it, and runs hotter. You know, I think this one, if all they do is bring out, it's exactly the same, looks the same, but it's got a bigger screen. I'm going to feel a little bit cheated. I'm kind of hoping it'll have a few more cool things there, you know, than just a bigger screen.
Yeah, I think the innovation tank is running dry there, and that, you know, there's only so much you can do in that. So they've started to kind of more of, you know, just kind of natural type of progression and started these huge innovation. But it would be nice to see something, you know, totally innovative and revolutionary with one of these releases. So, it sounds like from all the rumors that there's not going to be a whole lot there. The new dock connector, that little small one, I mean, that'll be nice, but it'll screw up all your accessories that you might have already. And the big screen is it for me. I'd love to have a bigger screen.
Yeah,
so
yeah, that will be nice.
Right there is one selling point for me.
I think
it'd be interesting. I mean, it's like the iPad as well. It's going to be the iPad 3, great. Well, I don't know how that's going to be different, or whether, but obviously they're bringing out the smaller version, it's going, hey, it's the same as before, just smaller. It's like, it really dawned on me when I was across in San Fran. I went into the Apple store there. It was the first time I really felt, I walked into an Apple store and felt completely uninspired.
Yeah.
I just wandered around. It was like, I've seen it all. This has been the same old stuff that's been kicking around for like the last year, 18 months. Nothing new and exciting. And I don't know. There's just nothing there. I think they just really need to just refresh the whole line, which I believe they're going to pretty much do with this announcement as well, because there's some iMac announcements, Mac Pros, possibly some Mac Minis. If not in September, definitely in October, there's going to be announcements around those, apparently.
Yeah, it's. I've been tending to skip a version now because there isn't a whole lot there. I went from the iPad 1, I skipped the 2 and went to the 3. And the iPhones I used to buy, the 3, 3G, 3GS, 4, but skipped the 4S just because there wasn't enough there. So it'd be nice to see a little bit more of the excitement for these phones and that, because of, they seem to be a bit lacking in kind of their evolution there now.
Yeah, I mean, I found myself for the first time, the next new Nexus 7 came out, and I've never been an Android person or, Google phone or anything like that, but I found myself for the first time actually looking at those seriously, thinking, well, okay, just because it's new, and I think being a geek, you need to have that constant, your interest certainly needs to be there in new stuff coming out, and, Apple, for me anyway, hasn't really done that for probably the last year. 18 months, but hopefully that will change with this announcement in the next couple of days.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, I think Apple's kind of like VMware in the sense that, they plan to, and people expect them to release, new products every 9 to 12 months and come out with something amazing. And sometimes it's tough to do that. So.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, well, no, it's interesting.
Well, it's been a great episode, guys, on VMworld 2012. Any final thoughts, Simon?
No, nothing really. I am looking forward to editing this up. I've edited before on my trusty MacBook Pro here, and it's one of the first generation i7 models, and the fan always kicks in, kick around about 110 degrees, fans going, everything like that, so... Enough was enough, because with my job now, I'm editing up for a few more videos and things like that. So jumped on eBay and picked myself up a rather good deal on a Mac Pro, relatively quite cheaply as well. So it's an old model. It's an old 2008 model, but it's got 8 cores on it. For me, that's my bit of excitement, bit of geek fun I'm going to be having in the coming weeks. Old technology, but pretty cool.
Cool. Eric?
Now, just looking forward to getting my hands on the GA vSphere 5.1 tomorrow, and then iPhone 5 hopefully later this month.
Very cool. Yeah, I'll be downloading the vSphere GA as well, and I need to get to work creating a vSphere 5.1 video training course. So that's my next project.
Get to do it all over again, every version that comes out.
Yeah,
that's right.
It keeps you busy.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Hey, David, so anything around Train Signal? Any new releases from you guys around that? Any new train videos?
Yeah. At VMworld, there was a lot of excitement about Scott Lowe's vSphere design course that he recently released. And then also Jason Nash's advanced vSphere networking course. And then next week, we're releasing Jason's Cisco Nexus 1000 V course. And then Jason's doing a vCenter operations course.
Wow. So, busy guy.
Yeah, he's a busy guy, and he's been cranking out some great info. I'll be working on vSphere 5.1 as well as a Hyper-V3 course, and more good stuff like that on the way. I need to get you guys some vNerd shirts, and
yeah, definitely, that'd be cool.
Yep, that's it. So great episode, guys. Thanks a lot.
Sure.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Bye.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching this episode of VChat, the latest in virtualization and cloud computing news and how-to. Eric, Simon, and David want your feedback, so send questions or ideas for future VChat topics to vchat@trainsignal.com.